Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very, very well-known and respected culinary genius from India who has curated food for world leaders, Dr. Chef Manjeet Singh Gill. Chef, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Wonderful talking to you, Mr.
Thank you. Chef Gill is the Managing Director of Eco Green Hospitality Private Limited. He's the former corporate chef of ITC Hotels, where I was just discussing with him. He and I were former colleagues when I used to work for ITC in the early 80s. He's the founder president of the Indian Federation of Culinary Associations, and he's been recognized and felicitated several times. So, Chef, my first question to you is, how did your journey with food start? What inspired you to become a chef?
I don't have any stories to tell of this kind. I was doing my BSc when my father suggested me to do the hotel management. He read some articles somewhere. He used to read a lot in the newspapers and all that. So he advised me. He said it would be a good future in the career, in the upcoming industry. So you see if you can do hotel management. So then I left BSc in second year and joined the hotel management. I got interested in that. I wish I could have done the completed the BSc also. But I joined then hotel management, and it was a very different and a unique journey started that time, because there were no any role models or no any people to follow, who can tell you about this. And my father couldn't tell me so much about hotel management.
Correct.
What is the future? What is the career? But he only read. So I joined that. And then to cut short, then during the journey of my doing hotel management, and the cookery was the major subject. It was number of hours on practical and theory was quite a lot. And I realized in first year only that with my personality, with my bringing up, and the way I behave, the way I work and all that, I think kitchen is the best for me to work in a hotel than any other people.
Amazing.
Teaching various departments and all that. But I found kitchen is good. I used to be good with my physical activities as a games, and I was good in the, sketching and things. So I was very good with my hands, whatever I used to do it. So I found that's more interesting. So I decided that I will join the kitchen only. And then fortunately, I got selected as a kitchen trainee with the Oberoi School. And that was a great training and a great, that still I am proud that I am from the Oberoi Training School. Because the training was very, very structured and organized. And then, incidentally, that time, whatever the training and the way the hotels were run, but then I joined ITC in 1977 when it was opening. ITC Moria was opening in 1977, so I joined that time. And I became the chef of the Mediterranean restaurant over there. And then some twists happened into the journey, so I got the without mentioning and explaining the reasons, whatever. But I was lucky that I got the opportunity to head the kitchen in a very early stage.
Right.
With my experience, not capable, but I got that opportunity. It was my luck or whatever. And then it took time to me for a week to really consolidate myself, to have the control. It was a great operation, very large operation, it. So I then, took over with my mind and body, everything that I will run this place. So with my people, my other chefs who were even senior to me also supported me. They might be having a confidence in me or whatever. But what I want to tell you is this. So we were running the whole, but my total training worked under the chefs also in Oberoi and other places. That time, it was all Western oriented and the Western training.
Correct.
And there was a belief And we want to highlight that time that if you want to become a good chef or want to be successful in the kitchen, you have to be from the Western cuisine. And that was because some hotels are operating like that mostly. And then, you know, so after coming here, then, you know, I get the urge to do something better, to acquire more knowledge and to understand better. It's, it just get into me. I'm not saying, you know, any reason, but it just get into me. So then I try to do, to go to the, you know, for education outside more, to upgrade myself, to upgrade my knowledge. So I tried to go to the Cornell University. It was too expensive to do. And so then I thought, then I left the ITC, Moray ITC, and ITC was kind enough to, they say, reason of my, I explained the why I'm leaving and going out, and to earn money and to do with Cornell University and all that, to upgrade myself. So ITC was, Moray was kind enough and very good to me, and they gave me the leave of 2 days, 2 years, without, of course, without salary, but the link remained with that. So, but I, incidentally, I achieved that my money, which of my objective, I earned that much of money in 1 year, 2 years.
Correct.
So I completed my summer classes over there in Cornell with commercial food production management, F&B controls, advanced food techniques, and all that. I did short courses over there.
Yeah.
I really realized that it was very important that time. And I came back after 1 year, not after 2 years, but after 1 year, I came back only because I completed what I wanted to do.
And then you were also focused a lot on Indian food, isn't it, Chef?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When I went to Cornell, that changed my mind a little bit. And incidentally, I was in a very good company, you know, which was the Indian philosophy, this company. And over there, people asked me, let's go something Indian food, you know. And I had a great pride that time. You know, innocently, I don't know how to cook because I'm not trained to cook them. I don't know how to cook. I can cook French food. I can cook Western food, you know, whatever training we have.
Correct, correct.
And the next question for the people were, where you learned? You know French? No. Have you lived in France? No.
Yes.
So from where you learn this food? It made you think. You know, cuisine is a very different subject. It made you think there must be something in there. Then I, when I came back, I realized, I started taking little interest, and then the little bit of, it was not imposed on us, but thought was put in the mind, that time the leaders like Mr. Huxer and other people, you know, that we must focus on the Indian food. We must understand. And the, you know, in ITC was more, with, you know, the kitchens of India and all that concept was started at that time. But we were ignorant, you know. And then I started reading, and then I come across a line in our, one of our old manuscripts of food. I don't remember the book now. That the originality of the cuisine only comes when the origin of the cook and the origin of the cuisine is same.
Amazing.
Otherwise, there is something missing. But it's a cultural thing. It's not that you learned in the classroom and you start
absolutely
cooking.
Well said. Absolutely.
No, so that made me change. And then I became, then fortunately I got the opportunity to head the kitchen. So I had everything in my control. I didn't have to ask anyone.
Correct.
So then I took my full advantage to get into the Indian food.
Absolutely.
Learn Indian
food. And you're known well around the world.
And read Indian food, read Indian food, practice that food. Practice the philosophies of Indian food and realize Indian food is not just a cooking exercise, it's a philosophy.
Well said. Well,
so there's a, there, and that philosophy is pan India, it's the same. But our food is diverse, our food is creative because our people who made that philosophy and set up that food, and then they said, understand the philosophy, be creative with your local flora and fauna.
Correct, correct.
That's why there's a creativity, because we have varied kind of climates in the whole of India, you know, and then according to the local flora and fauna, our cuisine is diverse.
Very well said, very well said.
You know? So when I learned all these things, then slowly, slowly, my total interest came into the Indian food. And for, I think, many years back, people started saying, Oh, chef, you don't know how to cook Western food. I said, why I need to cook Western
Absolutely.
food?
I'm Indian. Correct.
I will cook Indian food. Correct. Why Western food I
Correct.
Cook?
Correct.
So this is how I came into the Indian
Fantastic.
Food. And I'm very proud that I only know Indian food.
Absolutely. And that is so major. And you're known all over the world because of Indian food. And I think you have put ITC as one of the best Indian food chains in the world. So, Chef, my next question to you is that despite, you know, you just mentioned flora and fauna, but even today, the most popular food around the world, when you look at Indian, is butter chicken, dal and roti. My question is, are Indians experimenting more with their food or are we still staying with a few dishes?
You see, of course, I tell you the reason is our education. Our hotel schools are very much into Western cuisine training, even till today. And now some recipes are introduced of Indian food in our hotel schools because we don't have culinary schools. And we have culinary schools, but they are very basics. And the worst is that we are teaching a little bit of culinary also to the people, but there is no theory books of culinary, Indian culinary science. Right. There is no book. So we teach even the Indian recipe. But when we go to the theory class, we teach Western cuisine, Western theory. So in any discipline, you become a thinker or you only what theory you read, not what practical you do. Theory leads to your practical.
Right. Well said.
Not the practical leads to your theory or understanding of the science. Practical is practice. The practical or the cooking in a pan is the ultimate of your skills and knowledge you have. Not reverse it can happen. So whatever. So till today we don't have that. So one is to get into the kitchen, you have to come from the hotel school, not from the culinary school.
Yes.
And from the hotel school, we know in India that how much we struggle when we come into the hotel's kitchen and struggle spend 2, 3, 5, 6 years to really understand the culinary rudiments and culinary management. If you have to come up, culinary management is different than the hotel management.
Well said.
So that's why culinary degrees are different. So we don't have that. So all the people who come from the hotel school think Western. That's why they try to westernize our Indian food. That's why they try to westernize. They feel Western food is superior. I'm not degrading that food.
No, but you
our and it's a cuisine. It's not a cookery. And cuisine is when it starts from the ingredients of your local flora, even the pre-processing of the ingredients. After you cook the ingredients and you serve the ingredient and you eat the food, all have to synchronize and they sync with each other. They all have a link with each other. Then it becomes a cuisine. It is not in between bits and pieces. You do it, it becomes a cuisine.
Correct.
So that's the problem is we think Western.
Absolutely. Well said.
We think we have to be successful. We must do like that. Otherwise, there's no choice.
I agree with you. Chef, when I was preparing to talk to you, I was also reading some articles and you have curated food for world celebrities. My question, and I'm sure a lot of our viewers and listeners will want to know, what is the most complex dish that you have created and what was the process behind it?
You see, I don't think I can tell you one dish like
absolutely.
But we definitely, you get the likes and dislikes of the person. And then you choose the dishes from the Indian repertoire. Your repertoire has to be large.
Correct.
It should not limit it to butter chicken and the dal makhani, as you said before. If your repertoire, it should not be that also. That, like we have very popular dish like Rogan Josh. And you say, I will take Rogan Josh for so-and-so person, but no fat. So, you are losing the character of that dish because the dish is named with the fat.
Correct.
Fat must float on that. So, but why should I cook Rogan Josh? There are dishes in our Indian repertoire, regional dishes and all that, which are complete, which are fatless. If you want to cook the fatless, there are traditional dishes. So pick up your repertoire. So you have to increase your knowledge, and definitely it has cannot be create the any menu by cut and paste from here and there. You have to sit on a blank paper, and then you study that particular kind of the likes and dislikes of a particular person, or the dignity from which country. All these things you have to work together, and you put the menu together. And why not somebody will like it? It's cooked traditionally, but it fits to your taste buds. Not only the popular dishes, one or two, you pick up and put it to the menu.
Very, very.
So that exercise is complex. Not the dishes, what to make.
The other thing, you know, I was speaking to some other chefs, and I thought I'll ask you the same question. Did you take a risk with any kind of a dish or any kind of a cuisine, and it paid off and became a big success?
Of course, you know, it's not a risk. It's not a risk, I will say. If you put the things in a right perspective, then you should have a gut feel that in food and beverage, it will work. But very important is in food and beverage communication. What you think, what you conceptualize, and what exercise, the whole exercise you put to create that dish, it must be communicated like that. And when you create something, you create for some particular audience, for a particular diner. So it must, communication has to be correct. What your conceptualization, and it definitely it will be appreciated. So there are many dishes like that. It happens, you know, the process is, there are many.
I'm sure. And yet, you know, like you were just telling me, Chef, about Rogan Josh, which has to have fat. There is always a delicate balance between maintaining authenticity and appealing to the global taste preferences. Even Indians are changing. How do you manage that?
That's a very correct question. You know, that's what I say, that if we start teaching the theory of Indian food, you know, then it means we are talking about the food which is evolved and established last many, many thousand years. And it's a science. Now you call it Ayurveda or whatever, but it's a science or Ayurveda. And I'm talking about only the one vertical of Ayurveda, which is food. Ayurveda has many, many verticals. You know, there are a lot of things about life is there. But I'm talking about the food. And our food is evolved only on two pillars. One is wellness. One is the environment. So that's the two pillars of our food. And in that, it's a very big chapter, very big chapter in our theory of food or our Ayurvedic science is a taste, which unfortunately very few people in India, because it is not taught in the schools at this time, culinary schools, so that's why they're not aware. Like everybody knows umami. Every chef knows umami in India also. But umami is not the natural form of flora and fauna taste.
Correct.
The processed taste, you know. 6 days theory and 6 days science in Indian food is established from, is a big, big chapter on this, is 6 days, which are tastes of natural flora and fauna. And they are the sweet, salt, sour, bitter, pungent, astringent. They are the 6 days, easy to understand. Every food, every meal experience must be well balanced with 6 tastes. If it is not well balanced with 6 tastes, there is something missing in the food. That is what our food, our theory teaches us. So we have to keep the balance. And even these 6 tastes, the 2 tastes become much above, come above, 4 go behind to support these 2 tastes with the climate. Winter, they are different. Summer, they're different. You can easily feel, anybody can feel. In winter, you have a different taste buds. In summer, you have different. In monsoon, you like to have a different kind of a taste. You know, so it's a, if the food is or your menu is created and the dishes are made with the 6 balanced taste for according to keeping the climate and the location. You know, like climate will be of a particular location, the food will be accepted to anyone.
Wow, what a great response.
Anyone. Even Ayurveda says we must, somewhere it is a notion in the mind of people in the rest of the world, in the world, that nutritional food cannot be tasty or should not be tasty. Your taste spoils in the nose. Ayurveda says that the food is nutritional, even having nutrients in it, if it is not well balanced with 6 tastes and made tasty food. Food has to be tasty.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Chef, you also run very, very large kitchens, and not just, you know, in one hotel, but as corporate chef, you must have been responsible for many. I wanted to get your view in how is technology changing? Because you have seen kitchens for, as you said, from 1977, you went to Cornell. How is technology changing the culinary world and particularly Indian cuisine?
See, even the Indian food, we always talk about the present and the present generation because they are eating the food.
Correct.
But the food is changing. Food is not what was 50, 60 or 100 years back. Things keep coming, new things keep coming in. If we see, like 200 years back, there was no tomatoes. But now tomatoes look part of our
cuisine.
From generations. Always there. So this is because we in India, because our science is so strong, which is unstructurally maybe passing on, but we now culinary professions from the various disciplines must put this theory as a science for the culinary students to understand. So what I'm saying, so because of that, we know whenever the ingredients come, we know, we study them, we see them, how they are. What is the characteristic of this? How we can use, how we can pair, because we understand the taste of natural flora and fauna of 6 tastes.
Correct.
What is the taste of this? How we combine this and all that, and then we create.
So
now come on the technology. Things are changing always. It is not the things that are not changing. Always, every 2, 3, 5 years, things change. You have to come out with the new idea. Now, technology has to come in. Now, technology, particularly for commercial production, technology will be able to produce consistent food and more traditional food.
Right.
But technology must be our, because it's so strong, our food is, it has a heritage, legacy and everything. My appeal to many disciplines, which I do that in many universities also, where if I go, that we have to be supported by the engineering discipline of India. Understand the Indian food and create technology for the Indian food production. Like, for example, Indian food is cooked on a different heat. It's cooked on a radiant heat. It is not cooked on a conduction or so we need the cooking equipment with the radiant heat. People have some, you know, so they have every, we started our every pot and pan traditional is the curled from the bottom. We started cooking into flat bottom pots and pans. And with that, our food has been spoiled because we started using in a flat bottom, you need the fat maybe 3 or 4 times what you use in a curved bottom pan.
Okay.
We say Indian food is a lot of fat floating on top. It is the fault of technology.
I see.
We are not creating technology for our food. And I'm not saying we have to do the to create technology from the zero base. Equipments are there, technology is there. We have to only, you know, modify it, or we have to do it, which our Indian chefs start using it, and our traditional food we are able to make with the right flavors and taste. But technology has to come.
Without
technology, we cannot grow.
Very interesting.
We train people, and we will not be able to scale into the whole world if we don't have the technology. And it's just 5 seconds, we must learn from other successful traditional cuisines like Chinese. You cannot open a Chinese restaurant in the whole world, whether in India or China or America or anywhere, without the Chinese cooking range.
Correct.
whether it's made in India locally or it is imported from somewhere. But the Chinese technology, cooking, range has to be there. Otherwise, you cannot cook.
Very well said.
We need the technology suits to Indian food. We are at this moment, we are compromising. And this compromise will not go on.
So, Chef, I have time for two more questions for you. My next question to you is on spices. In Indian food uses a multiplicity of Indian spices. Yeah. I'd love to get your perspective on Indian spices. And are there some which are being underutilized in our cuisines?
I will not say that the onion is underutilized. Mm-hmm. See, we must... Even I used to have that curiosity to understand and to learn more about spices and the herbs. And I discussed that to many Ayurveda practitioners or vats and all that. That was my always a question to them. Okay, tell me some more of the spices and herbs which I use in my food, and my food become which makes creates wellness for the people. You know, those kind of things we have. But then at the end, I was made understood that, you know, what we are spice box in all the regions is allowed to use in your everyday cooking, which keeps your, according to your local climate, keeps your body in balance, feel good. The rest of the spices are medicines. Like many people tried ashwagandha into the food because it became a popular kind of a thing. But to balance the taste with ashwagandha is bitter.
Correct.
Balance that taste, you spoil the whole dish.
Well
so,
said.
You know, you are not, so every spice is not, or a herb is not for the food cooking, they're for medicines. There are many examples like that. You know, like people think that we get excited with the fennel bulb from international dinner. But we have fennel, so we must be having the fennel bulb also.
Correct.
Without fennel bulb, you can't get the fennel. But according to our climate, according to our knowledge, fennel is more useful for wellness than the bulb. Always one kind of vegetable only.
Correct.
So it was not allowed to use the fennel bulb, but we are suggested to use the fennel in the food. So that is the difference in the knowledge and understanding. Absolutely. And the climate advantages.
Very
so
well said.
I think the spices, what we have, we should, the most understood, which I talked about the taste before, our first essential of cooking, which is written into our manuscripts. I will tell all the four maybe a little later, but first is understand the characteristics of each ingredient. And characteristics come the taste. If you see some Indian books, traditional books written on spices and all that, within first paragraph, you'll find the taste of the spice.
Wow.
If you don't understand the taste of the spice, you will not be able to pair them with the meat or vegetables or whatever you're cooking, what dish you're cooking, that pairing happens perfect. So spices, whatever 13, 14, 15, 20 spices, commonly we know, they are good enough to create variety of food and good for wellness.
Very well said. Well said.
Yes, then and the food is medicine. Then.
Absolutely. And Chef, my last question to you, and this is for the thousands of people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own amazing journey, what would you say your advice would be to someone aspiring to become a chef, particularly in Indian cuisine?
That advice to everybody, which I'm doing last many, many years, wherever I get opportunity to speak to the students, and I interact a lot with the students in my own, you know, my advice is that in India, because we understand the diversity very well.
Yeah.
We understand that.
Correct.
You know, and then every student must master his regional food. You learn whatever you're learning in the hotel school or a culinary school. You learn Italian, Spanish, French, whatever you want to learn.
Correct.
You should be master of your own regional food. That is part of your profession. And regional food is easy to do because ingredients available at home.
Correct.
Teachers are available at home, seniors. You cook, the dining, the people who are going to eat are available at home, and they can critique of your food at home. So you can trained very fast. And once you are master of your own regional cuisine, you will be able to cook better other cuisines. Because the rudiments of the basics, you will understand from your people in your regional food only.
Very interesting.
So it's for every student. Learn, I'm not restricting you for that.
Yeah.
Learn whichever cuisine, it's much more easier. You can be a master of other cuisines also. But if you know your regional cuisine, if you know the regional cuisine, you become a solution.
Very good.
You will be able to give solutions for many. Only just a master of cooking.
Well said. So
every student must learn and understand and master their regional cuisine and create. You will be a cutting edge above the rest because they don't know your regional cuisine. So you know what nobody knows.
Absolutely. And Chef, on that note, and your incredibly wise words to people who are interested in master your regional food, master your regional cuisine, thank you so much for speaking to me about your own amazing journey, about how you went to the Oberoi, joined ITC Moria, and then went off Cornell, came back. I think you have done such amazing work for food in India. And of course, for promotion of an understanding of Indian food. Thank you also for talking to me about so many different aspects of Indian cuisine. And I was surprised that we don't have proper cuisine schools, culinary schools, as you call them.
We don't have books. Yeah.
So, but thank you so much for speaking to me, Chef, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Ashutosh. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.